A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but she has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, she immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Our gospel passage today begins with this command from Jesus: hear the parable of the sower. In several verses before this verse, the disciples ask him why he teaches in parables. Jesus responds, "Because they see but do not see, and listen but do not hear." In his space and time, one of the most effective teaching, preaching tools is the parable. With the parable, Jesus throws the listener into confusion. Listening comes to an abrupt halt, and one has to begin to hear the nuances, the contradictions and absurdities, in order to hear the truth. Jesus is sitting in front of us, the disciples sitting at his feet today, and he repeats again, "Hear the parable of the sower." Hearing a parable. How do we allow the parable to be what it is meant to be in our day and time? First, what we see and what we are listening to in the story of the parable has to stop making sense. It does not fit into our models of being, our socialization, our ways of thinking and doing. The immediate understanding of the words, images, and actions in the parable startled the mind and demand attention. It is in the midst of this curious listening one begins to hear a truth of what it means to live the gospel good news. To hear this way, we have to stop what we are doing, how we are listening now. We have to stop because we are no longer able to stand on what we have always been standing on. And to prevent ourselves from falling, we have to stop. Hearing in this way is the work of the contemplative. Hearing contemplatively shapes how one goes about each task, each movement, each conversation, each private prayer, each common prayer. Hearing contemplatively wakes us up to all that is being said around us and all that we are saying. When we are hearing contemplatively, we wake up seeing that we were sleepwalking here in this truth all along. Hearing the parable of the sower necessarily means taking it with us the entire day, into the week, throughout the month, transforming our sight and our ears, allowing its light to encourage us to get a glimpse of truth. I want to share a recent personal incident which may help us hear the parable of the sower. I was at evening prayer with my community. It was the fourth week of the Psalter. We were praying Psalm 135. The chanting lifted the words into the chapel, wrapping me in what I have come to love as a part of the Dominican tradition of my religious life. The last two verses we prayed contained these words: God killed Egypt's firstborn, both humans and beasts, doing wondrous signs in Egypt against Pharaoh and his aides. God struck down nations, killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, all the kings of Canaan. Then God gave Israel their land, a gift for them to keep. A shiver went through me, and the thought registered that, well, it was okay. The Psalms, after all, are a people's interpretation of grace at work in their lives. They're of a different time in history. We pray them today as a part of that salvation history in our faith tradition. So our chanting ended, and we finished praying these words in common, these words together, as a part of our prayer of praise and thanksgiving in the name of the church. At morning prayer the next day, there it was again, a nagging, persistent presence disturbing my thoughts as we again chanted with relish words of yet another psalm, Psalm 136. Again, the intellectual, studied, educated, well-read voice in me said, it is a psalm declaring proof of God's provident care for the chosen one. The word struck down Egypt's firstborn, God's love is everlasting, drowned Pharaoh and his troops, God's love is everlasting. Understand it as a part of salvation history. Embrace it as tradition. In the melodic chanting was this ongoing effort of recounting incident after violent incident as proof of God's care, protection, and love. Our chant's cadence was one of joy and celebration. Across from me sat an Iraqi Dominican sister. Her presence startled my hearing, and something like light cracked through. Hearing contemplatively wakes us up to all that is being said around us and all that we are saying. As Jesus said, I was seeing, but not able to see, and listening, but not able to hear. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but this one has no root and lasts only for a time. Had the intellectual, studied, educated, well-read voice in me become rocky ground? Did I begin to see boulders of intellectual ascent to learn truths embedded in the rich soil of our minds and hearts? Had tradition become a stone rolled in front of a tomb instead of a foundation on which to stand? Had the root of Jesus' teaching, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, had it found a way into the soil of our hearts at all? The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in her heart. Drowned Pharaoh and his troops, God is everlasting love, struck down mighty tribes, God is everlasting love? This is lasting love? Which side is God on? Which are Pharaoh's troops? The Americans? The insurgents? Al-Qaeda? Or the Tutsis? The Hutus? No. These are not just words from a particular time and space. They are deliberately chosen as the words for our common prayer, our prayer of praise. What are we praising? Violence? The end justifies the means? All is not fair in love and war? Can we agree that there is a lack of understanding in our repetition of these words of retribution? Or are we to keep the hearing of this parable out of our prayer of the divine office? When Jesus admonishes us to hear the parable of the sower, is that only at certain times of the day? Only as we take part in particular behaviors in certain circumstances? The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. In the book Creating True Peace, Thich Nhat Hanh tells us, it is possible to identify the seeds of violence in our everyday thoughts, speech, and actions, and when we recognize violence that has taken root in us in the everyday way we think, speak, and act, we can then wake up and live in a new way. Perhaps these are seeds of violence. Perhaps these seeds of violence have grown like thorns in our uttered words of prayer. Might the anxiety of preaching against the text and risking a change in the prayer tradition choke the word in us so that it bears no fruit? Jesus says he teaches in parables because we see but do not see and listen but do not hear. He waits with a handful of truth to be sown. He is not waiting for the weather to change or the sun to dawn. He's waiting for us to hear. Only then can one begin to hear the nuances, contradictions, and absurdities we are speaking aloud. Seeing my sister, my Iraqi sister, with my eyes as we chanted the prayer words I've described caused me to choke. I had to stop uttering the syllables. It was like seeing and really seeing all of her land and all of her people were with us in that moment. Somewhere between the desire to hold on to the holy tradition of praying the Psalms and the reality of this people suffering in war, war in the very lands out of which these psalms were born, somewhere in between these two is a truth that Jesus wants us to hear. Hearing contemplatively shapes how one goes about each task, each movement, each conversation, each private prayer, each common prayer. Hearing contemplatively wakes us up to all that is being said around us and all that we are saying. When we are hearing contemplatively, we wake up seeing that we were sleepwalking here in this truth all along. In our Iraqi sister's face, I saw the sower's hand, full of seed ready to be spread. With the psalms chanting in the background, I prayed that this time we might begin hearing with new eyes.